This is the Maternity Matters podcast from Riley Children's Health. Discussions to help you along the journey from the first trimester to your child's first year. Hey, ladies, thank you so much for joining me. Today we have Emily Mason and Sheila Decker from our Mother Baby Unit here to talk about all things postpartum. Ladies, why don't we start off with you kind of introducing yourselves and telling me what your role is at the moment. So Sheila, let's start with you.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having us. Like you said, my name is Sheila Decker. I am the clinical manager of the Mother Baby Unit over here at Methodist, soon to be in the Riley building. And so we take care of all of the mamas after they've had babies over here until they're ready to go home.
Wonderful. And Emily, how about you?
My name is Emily Mason, and I'm a registered nurse on the Mother Baby Unit, and I have worked there for about 3 years.
Cool. So I want to start off with kind of a fun question, and that's for maybe the moms out there, expectant moms who are preparing to deliver their baby soon, and they've heard all sorts of myths or misinformation out there about what it's really like to go through this. So what's the biggest myth, Sheila, that you've heard about, you know, that postpartum time and recovery? Any that you want to share with us?
Ooh, there's probably a lot. I would say one of the biggest things is that every baby comes out ready, you know, and is awesome at breastfeeding. I feel like I did a lot of education when I was taking care of patients a lot, I feel like there's that myth that your baby comes out and is just ready to nurse, and you know what to do, and your baby knows what to do, and it's all this beautiful thing. And it is a beautiful thing, but I think that would be one of the big things. I feel like that they're, we want to set all of our moms up for success. And if their goal is breastfeeding, we want to help them get there, whatever their goal is. If that's a month, 6 months, a year plus of breastfeeding, we want to set them up. But babies come out, and there is often a learning curve along with the moms on, you know, just getting going with breastfeeding. And we certainly want to provide that support.
And the nurses do such an amazing job, just from my own experience, of being that support system for new moms. Emily, what about you? Are there any that come to mind that you kind of hear moms mention? You're like, no, that's not actually how things work.
Well, yeah, I actually was going to say exactly what Sheila said. So as a mom myself who has breastfed, I know that going into my delivery, I just kind of expected that my son would just latch and everything would feel great and I wouldn't have any pain. And, you know, I would feel like I have plenty of milk, and really none of that happened. So breastfeeding for me was such a rewarding experience with both of my children, but it is a learning experience, and it takes a lot of time and practice and a lot of commitment to master.
Yeah, that's very important to keep in mind. And so as we move through this conversation, I want to just start at that moment that mom, baby, support person get moved to the mother baby unit, because some friends of mine have said, oh, I'm confused. I don't know what these different units are all about. So how does that work? At what point after delivery is that transition made?
So typically, there are different hospital units. So I can see how there'd be a lot of confusion, and hospitals set it up differently. A lot of the time it tends to be a little bit smaller hospitals. You stay in the same room the entire time, like from the time you walk in the door to the time you go home. But with us specifically, you are in labor and delivery while you are in labor, and then you transition out of that after about a 2 to 3 hours window, depending on if you've had a C-section or vaginal delivery. And then you come over here and spend the rest of your time with us. So we move you to a room, hopefully with a little bit more of a comfortable bed and a kind of a setting that, you know, gets you, you know, gives you a little bit of space for the baby. And also with nurses over here that postpartum care is their specialty, and they're really ready to set you up for success when you go home.
Yeah. And Emily, what are those first few steps that you complete, you know, when you have a new mom come in and the baby's right there and there's so many emotions and just joy, but also a lot of things to learn. So what do you do first when the mom comes in?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, once you arrive on the mother baby unit, we take a little bit of time to just orient you to your room and go over what to expect during your postpartum recovery. So, of course, we will assess you and your baby and answer any questions that you might have. And this is also a great time for you to share with us anything that is important to you in your stay with us. If your baby is with you, we encourage you to have that bonding time with your baby. If your baby happens to be in the NICU, we'll take you over to visit once you're stable enough to be transported over there. And another thing that a lot of moms are just on such a high after giving birth, that they just want to be awake and spend time with their baby. That's wonderful. But the first 12 to 24 hours, your baby is usually pretty sleepy too. So just keep in mind, this is also a great time to try to get a little bit of sleep if you can.
Yes, I feel like that was something that I needed my nurses to remind me of too, because it is an exhausting day and you just want to then play, you know, have time with the baby, but those sleepy hours are very, very key. And Sheila, I know you mentioned that, you know, the team on the mother baby unit is specialized in this care. So what are the ways that you're caring, you know, for both mom and the new baby to help them recover, to be checking on those vitals? What is that aspect like?
Yeah, we encourage as much bonding as we can. So we are, one big thing I would say is we're a baby-friendly hospital. And what that means is we follow best practice around keeping baby with the mom as much as possible so that they can have that bonding time, so that they can, mom can learn baby's feeding cues and also just kind of learn what's normal for their little one, because every baby comes out, you know, a little bit differently with, you know, how often they want to feed, how often, you know, they're awake. Babies sleep 20 out of 24 hours a day plus, but sometimes that they're wide awake at 4 a.m. So we want to make sure that we're providing, you know, education around what's normal with babies before they go home, and also what's normal with moms, because, you know, you have this brand new baby, but we're also taking care of the mamas too. They just went through either, you know, a delivery or through a C-section, and your body needs some time to heal. And we also provide education with, you know, what's normal for you, what's not normal, what are ways that we can support you through supporting your baby, or also, you know, with mamas, they pain relief tends to be a big thing. And that's not always medicine. Sometimes that's teaching moms how to, you know, best handle if they have an incision, like how they can take care of themselves and not be in as much pain when they're getting up and walking around. Another aspect of our care is, you know, really around, you know, just supporting that mom, because while it's scary, you have this brand new baby that you're taking home with you, we also want to make sure that you feel just as well taken care of as your baby. And I feel like our staff over here do an excellent job of getting our patients, you know, well taken care of while they're here.
And something I do want to point out is that our team at IU Health is prepared to take care of even the sickest moms, right? The sickest babies. Can you guys shed some light on how that team just works so well together and is there in case things take a dive? You know, if a mom needs more medical support, that we have the specialists available there to make sure that she's getting the care that she needs.
Yeah, our NICU team is just a phone call away, and we work really well with them, and we like to make sure that moms are updated on how their baby is doing if they need to go to the NICU. So, and with the recovery process too, I would just like to add too that your support person that you choose is a huge, huge factor in your recovery. So just make sure that you're choosing someone who is willing to help you and able to help you with baby care and to help encourage and support you throughout your recovery process as well.
Yeah, that's very true. And I want to go back a little bit. You mentioned being a baby-friendly hospital and what that involves. In movies, sometimes people might see a scene of a nursery, right, with a bunch of babies in there, and that's where the parents go to see their child. But in our reality, things are very different. The baby gets to spend that time rooming in with the parents. Why is that a great approach to allow that bonding to happen very early on?
Well, yeah. So unlike in years past where babies were routinely sent to the nursery, you know, for hours at a time, at the Riley Maternity Center, we definitely encourage our families to keep their babies in the room with them as much as possible, which we do call rooming in.
So this helps you to learn your baby's feeding cues. It helps you bond with your baby. And it also helps you to learn what works best to soothe your baby, because every baby is different. So we definitely encourage you to sleep while your baby sleeps safely in their bassinet. We do want you to be safe with your baby. So there may be instances where rooming in 24 hours a day may not be the safest option. But we routinely educate you about safe sleep and, you know, encouraging taking turns with your support person, caring for the baby. And we like to teach you good soothing techniques that may work for your baby.
Yeah, that's great. And I do want to talk about night number two, because we touched on the fact that babies can be very sleepy in the first 12, 24 hours, but things sometimes change a bit when night two rolls around. So what's that all about, Sheila? Can you break it down for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So we call it, you know, second night syndrome, I feel like is how I've often verbalized it to patients, because our babies, they come out and they're very awake and alert for that first few hours. And that's nature, making sure that baby can get a good feeding in right after. And then they really do, they kind of just conk out the next like 24 hours. They're tired. They just went through all the same things you went through, and they're ready, you know, to just kind of sleep and conserve as much energy as possible. That second night though rolls around and they're getting feedings and they're staying awake long enough for feedings. And then they start to wake up a little bit more, stay awake longer, and often on the opposite normal, if you want to call it, schedule of most of our mamas. They're waking up in the middle of the night, that 2 to 3 to 4 a.m. and they are wide awake. They want to eat. They want to eat all the time, and they want to be comforted, because if you think about a baby in utero, all they've heard and felt is their mom, and all they've heard, you know, like, is their mom up close to them. So they want, even if they're not feeding, they're wanting to be close to their mom, and they are letting you know when they are not. So that it's a huge deal. And it almost like scares some of our patients. They think like, there's something wrong with my baby. My baby has been crying or wanting me the last like 3 to 4 hours in the middle of the night. It's totally normal. And we will definitely help you through that. We want to keep your baby safe so that you can get some rest too. So we'll talk to you about, like Emily talked about, you know, sleeping when your baby sleeps is huge, especially as you approach the second night, that if your baby is asleep at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you go ahead and get some rest at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because babies kind of have their own schedule there for a while, especially with that second night. So conserving your energy as much as possible. And Emily also mentioned too, around making sure you have a support person, whoever that is, that would be willing to be here with you and support, taking care of that baby, you know, taking turns like napping back and forth so that you guys can support each other through that. And especially on that second night, you know, kind of taking turns. So that way the baby can be soothed by, you know, either mom or the support person. Just a lot of the times they just want someone around because they're wide awake. And this is a whole new world full of sounds, sights, smells. Everything is just totally different than what they're used to. And as you can imagine, if you wake up into something totally different than pretty much what you remember, it's kind of a frightening place. So that second night syndrome is huge. I'm glad you brought that up. And I feel like it's definitely something we talk to our patients about a lot and try to support our patients through.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming to a baby, all these new sights and sounds. But for me, I was so grateful to the nurses that let me know about that as soon as I got to the mother baby unit. So yeah, I didn't have to worry about, is something wrong? They just were there to guide me through it. So that was wonderful. And there are a series of tests done on newborns that, you know, happen while the family is still in the hospital. Emily, can you tell me a little bit about those screenings that are done?
Sure. Yeah. There's some tests that may be needed for your newborn, and there are others that are required for your newborn. So there's pretty much 6 fairly common tests or screenings that may be needed for your baby in the hospital. The first one is blood sugar checks. So with blood sugar checks, there may be certain circumstances that may cause your baby to be at an increased risk for hypoglycemia or low blood sugar. So if this applies to your baby, your nurse will educate you about this and let you kind of know the time frame you can expect. Usually it's between the first 12 and 24 hours that we would do blood sugar checks on a baby. The second one that we do on all babies is a hearing screen, and that's a painless procedure. Probably the most important thing with that is to let your nurse know if you have any family history of hearing loss on either side of the family. The third one is kind of personal to me. The third one is a newborn screening, blood work, which is collected on every baby after they turn 24 hours old. It's a heel poke. It screens for about 60 different genetic and metabolic conditions that otherwise may not be apparent at birth. You can't tell just by looking at your baby. So some of these conditions are ones you may have heard of, like sickle cell or cystic fibrosis. My daughter, it was actually born with PKU, which is one of the conditions that is screened for. And so I'm a huge advocate for newborn screening. And because of newborn screening, she lives a healthy life with her treatment. So along with the newborn screening, we also do what's called a pulse ox test. This checks your baby's oxygen saturation in their hand and in their foot. It's painless also. And it's important because it can help detect congenital heart defects that may not have been discovered before birth. We also screen every baby each morning for jaundice. It's an easy test. We just shine a light from a device called the bilimeter on your baby's chest, and it calculates their risk for jaundice. And then the final test that might be required for your baby is a car seat study. This is for any baby whose weight drops below 2.5 kilograms during their stay in the hospital, or any baby born before the 37th week of pregnancy. So basically your baby just hangs out in their car seat for a couple hours while we monitor their heart rate and their oxygen saturation, just making sure they can tolerate being in their car seat.
Great. And Emily, thank you for sharing about your own experience. This information can just help create the right care plan for these kids, right? So for any parent that's listening to this, it seems like a lot, but Emily, I imagine you agree that having that information available can make a huge difference in outcomes for babies.
Absolutely. Yeah. And most of these tests are very quick, easy tests. So it sounds like a lot, but in reality, it doesn't feel like a lot when you're actually going through it.
Yeah. And my baby had the car seat study done and it was fine. And it helped us feel more comfortable, you know, heading home, getting in the car, knowing he was okay. So just great stuff that we have available at the hospital. I do want to talk about baby's first bath, because I don't know about you ladies, but I was nervous to get home and not know how to do this. And my nurse was great in kind of showing us the steps and how to go about that. So when does that first bath usually happen? And can parents kind of watch and get some pointers from the nurses? Sheila, do you want to jump in here?
Yeah, absolutely. So baby baths, if you guys can kind of, if anyone can think back to, I mean, even like 10 years ago, we were doing baths really quickly after delivery. And, you know, getting the baby all scrubbed up, getting them smelling like that, you know, that good baby soap that's, you know, just wonderful. But there's been a lot of literature, a lot of research that has came out that says, because of that, we were kind of stressing babies out. They come out, they're already in a stressful situation, and then we're wiping them down head to toe and scrubbing them. And while we do want to eventually give them a bath and get them cleaned up, it also affects their temperature regulation, and we don't want to freeze our babies either. So we do wait, and we do try to wait, you know, like 8-12 hours. Like we like to push it out. So, and we don't have a set time, but we do want it delayed. So you may, when you come over here with your little one, the bath may be, you know, like anywhere 8-12 hours, you know, further out, just to make sure that your baby, number one, can have enough temperature checks in a row, that the baby is staying warm enough. And also we're not, you know, providing that extra layer of stress, you know, just right away. So we want to make sure that their temperature is able to stay in. And that, like I said, there's research out there around when babies come out, they have, you know, a substance on their skin often called vernix. And the longer that kind of sits there and soaks in, the better they're able to kind of, you know, hold on to their temperature. So we do kind of let that sit, soak in. There are times that we need to immediately do a bath, just some, you know, some very specific reasons, just from an infection prevention end. And we would certainly talk to you about that if we needed to do an immediately, but other than that, I know it's different, and your baby might have, you know, a little bit of, you know, on their skin, you know, some of that vernix, but it's all good. And we want it to sit there, and we want to give them time to, you know, really get, you know, be able to stay nice and warm on their own before we, you know, chill them out a little with the bath. And we do, like she talked about, we do walk through that bath with you, because it's not, you know, we're dunking baby in a bathtub. And you might, like, if you're having a baby, you might've got one of those little baby bathtubs for when you get home, but we do sponge baths head to toe when they're first born, because of risk with infection with that umbilical cord being there. And we do have you do that for a while after you get home as well. And we can kind of walk you through that. These little ones seem very, very fragile, but we will hopefully get you comfortable enough with, you know, getting them, you being able to do those baths when you get home.
Yeah. And along with that, there's a lot of education that happens on the mother baby unit before parents go home, right? To help them feel prepared. The nurses and the whole medical team are such a source of support during the hospital stay. But what do you guys do just before that final goodbye and the parents and the family just head off with their new baby? Emily, do you want to jump in here just about what that education is before the discharge?
Yeah. So, I mean, really our goal is to provide education throughout your stay to help you feel well prepared to take care of yourself and your baby once you go home. But at discharge, there is some specific education that we give you. We go over some printed educational materials that you get to take home with you. We want to make sure you have the resources. There's a booklet that you get when you are admitted that has some helpful resources. But we just want to make sure you understand when you need to follow up with your doctor or midwife, as well as your baby's pediatrician. We discuss any medications that may be prescribed for you. And we go over, you know, just kind of re-educate about safe sleep and kind of what to expect the first few weeks after you go home. So this is, again, a really great time to have your support person present. So you can both kind of ask those last questions before you get to go home with your baby.
Wonderful. And before we wrap up here, I have found that, you know, the members of our team have such a passion for the work that each of you do. So I want to ask Sheila, what is it about being on the mother baby unit that drives you to be part of that particular team and to help these new moms just kind of navigate this new journey that they're on?
I am so confident in our team. We just have such a great team of staff that they're here because they really want to be here. And while there are labor and deliveries and mom baby units across the state, we do take care of some of the sickest moms and sickest babies in the state. So I really feel like the nurses that are here have a passion for those patients. And they really, you know, if you're coming in here, there's a couple things that I'll talk to people about a lot of times when I'm interviewing new staff, is you really want to, you know, be an educator for these parents, because being pregnant, getting ready to have a baby is a total different ballgame than when you're about to walk out the door with this fragile little human and you're expected to take care of them. So it's not just education, you know, like of, you know, here's what you need to watch for. It's how do we get our parents confident enough to go home and, you know, feel good walking out these doors that they're going to be great taking care of this tiny little human. So I feel like we just have such a great team that has a passion for what they do every single day when they walk in this door. I don't feel like I have anybody that just clocks in, clocks out and does their job. They really are here to make a difference in these parents' lives. And, you know, you might not remember like when you got your tonsils taken out, but you remember when you had a baby and you remember a lot of details around that. And I think our staff take that very seriously and know what an impact they can make in these parents beginning to their life of being parents.
Yes, I remember my mother baby unit nurses and they were just incredible. So I completely agree with what you're saying. And Emily, how about for you? What is it that drew you to being part of this particular unit and taking care of these moms and babies?
Oh, I just have such a passion for this field of nursing and I love my job. I think and I hope that it would be apparent to any patient in our care that we love what we do. We get to meet people from all different backgrounds, all different situations. We have, you know, such a happy job for the most part. And, you know, occasionally we don't have a happy job, but we take care of everyone that comes our way without judgment. And we just have such a passion for, you know, helping you learn how to take care of your baby and how to take care of yourself and become confident in your new role as a mom.
That is so well said. Well, thank you guys so, so much for just enlightening us with the process of what happens with moms and babies once they get brought over to your unit. And my last question is just, we're just a few months away from the move over to the Riley Maternity Newborn Health Tower. Are you guys excited for that? And how do you think that will just kind of help moms be in the same place and have that connection with their babies, even if they have to receive some more treatment from our medical team?
I personally am so, so very excited to be in the same building with our Riley colleagues and the excellent care they provide. I think a huge thing that a lot of people don't think about is while we have a NICU here, the Riley NICU is the highest level of NICU in the state. So if your baby needs, you know, some type of surgery, anything like that, needing that immediate care, they do have to go to Riley. And so sometimes that separates our moms from our babies. And I was that mom with my 11-year-old. I delivered actually at university at the time, and my little one had to have open heart surgery, and he received amazing care at Riley, but we were separated. And that's a hard thing to deal with, even as a nurse, knowing that he was getting the absolute best care, you know, waiting to see this little one for so long and then, you know, having to wait. And so while I received great care, that was always looming over all of it, that I couldn't be there with him at all for the most part. So on a very personal level, I am so ecstatic to be a part of this move. At the time, I was not an employee here. And I would say that's a huge part of the reason that drove my professional career here was my personal experience. So I am so excited on so many levels to be in the same building and to keep these moms and babies together as much as possible.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Sheila. That's just one of the many reasons why it'll be so wonderful to see all of these teams come together and under one roof in just a matter of months. So thank you both so much. Your perspective is very helpful, and I hope you have a great day.
All right. Thank you for having me.